Hello and welcome to this special edition of the AusMed Handover podcast. My name is Matthew Stott, filling in for Darren Wake this week. And in this episode, you are going to hear a rare piece of history from the personal account of Australian war nurse Betty Jeffrey. Held as a prisoner of war in World War II on Bangka Islands alongside the famous Vivian Bullwinkle, the two went on to found the Nurses Memorial Centre, dedicated to honouring nurses past, present and future. ...2017 marks the 75th anniversary of the infamous Bangka Island massacre. On the 16th of February 1942, Japanese forces executed 21 Australian Army nurses and some 60 surrendered Australian and British servicemen. The following account, entitled The Girls on the Beach, was written by Betty Jeffrey in 1969, and it retells the events of the massacre as relayed to her firsthand from Vivian Bullwinkle, the only person to survive. The girls on the beach will be narrated for the handover by Betty's grandniece, Emily Malone.
The Girls on the Beach by Betty Jeffrey. When Vivian Bullwinkle was shot with 21 other Australian Army nurses by Japanese soldiers on the beach at Bangka Island in February 1942, she eventually arrived in the local jail in Muntok alone. She had miraculously survived machine gun fire and was the only member of that group of nurses to do so. In the Muntok jail, she joined up with other nurses, also survivors of the tiny ship Vinabrook, who had come ashore from this bomb ship at various places along the shores of the island and had missed being with Vivian's group on the beach. Those of us already in the jail were expecting another 22 nurses to arrive, so we were very shocked when we heard her story. The amazing thing about the bombing and sinking of the Vinabrook is that between us all, we could account for every Australian nurse who had been on the ship. There were 65 of us who embarked at Singapore. 32 were now in this jail as prisoners of war. 12 had drowned after the ship sank, and 21 had been killed by machine gun fire on the beach at Bangka Island. We were quite sure of the identity of the 12 nurses who were drowned, as each one of us saw someone in the sea who was not alive, and we all reported each name back to the main group later in the jail. The list of 12 names checked and rechecked as each nurse reported her story. Before Vivian's arrival, we were still expecting another 22 nurses to join us. Most of us had seen a group of nurses on the beach moving around a big fire they had lit while others were still swimming and trying to get ashore on bits and pieces of wreckage. Vivian arrived about a week after the first group and told us her terrible story. It was such a dreadful and dangerous story that we all decided there and there never to mention it again until we arrived home in Australia. As we were prisoners for the following 3.5 years, it was never mentioned unless we were talking about one or other of the girls, and we would say, oh, she was one of the girls on the beach, which of course meant nothing to anybody but us. We had all been on the beach at some stage of our getting ashore from the sunken ship. Imagine my horror when I arrived in Singapore with the surviving nurses in 1945 and a Melbourne newspaper reporter took me aside and said, "Are you from Melbourne?" I told him I was. His next words were, "Tell me about the massacre." I was stunned. I had no idea what he was talking about, so said, "What massacre?" I really meant this. I was sure he had the wrong group. Never at any stage did we think of that awful shooting of our nurses as a massacre. It was always the girls on the beach. It still is to this day. 26 years later, I heard Vivian tell her story again, this time to Lady Casey. It was just as she told us in February 1942. Time and the years had not erased anything from her memory. Vivian said she had come ashore with a group by pushing an upside-down lifeboat which had been holed by shrapnel. They had built a huge fire on the beach late in the afternoon so that everyone swimming and trying to get ashore from the ship could see where to try and land. In this group were 22 Australian Army nurses and civilian men and women from Singapore. There was also a naval officer. Some of the group had been wounded and needed attention. After two nights on the beach and no Japanese had arrived to take them prisoner, the naval officer was asked to walk into the town of Muntok nearby and ask the Japanese to help them with their wounded. This man was away for a long time, so it was suggested that all the civilian women should walk into Muntok, give themselves up and ask for help for the others. The nurses remained on the beach with the wounded and the remaining men. Sometime later, a few Japanese soldiers arrived. They separated the men from the nurses and marched them off down the beach and around a small bluff and out of sight. The soldiers returned a little later, wiping their bayonets. With horror and shock, the nurses realised what had happened, but they were immediately lined up, the wounded people too, and they were told to walk into the sea. Still stunned, they did as they were ordered. Not one complained. Not one spoke as they waded into the water. Then they were machine gunned from behind. Vivian was hit just near her left hip and was flung headlong into the water by the impact. She stayed like that and pretended to be dead until the soldiers left the beach. Then she stood up, moved amongst the fallen nurses to see if any of them had survived, but not one had done so. She slowly walked ashore and into the jungle at the edge of the beach, sat down under a large tree and went to sleep. She did not know it then, but she slept for 24 hours, thought she had been asleep only a short while, so got up and went back to the beach to look for more survivors. On the way, she met a badly wounded Englishman who called to her. He told her she had been asleep for 24 hours. She helped him back to her shady tree and then went looking for water and food. As the bullet had gone straight in and out of her body, missing everything, the salt water cleaned the two wounds and the long sleep started to heal it, so she was able to move about. For some days they remained there, so close to a group of Japanese soldiers who filed past each day only a few yards away, but they remained unseen. At this stage of her story, Lady Casey asked her if she had prayed. Vivian smiled and replied, "I was not going to start whinging to God, dear Vivian." However, she was able to get food from some natives nearby and water from a stream. But as her friend was getting worse and the natives were afraid to help them anymore, they decided to try and walk into Muntok and give themselves up. And so they set out. After walking along the road a little way, they were picked up by Japanese officers who were driving past in a car. I can still see Vivian now, standing by a table in the entrance hall of our jail, speaking with a guard. She was firmly holding a shoulder strap type water bottle to her side and waved to us as we gathered in the doorway. She hurried towards us and we took her into our dormitory, sat her down on the bed space and removed her water bottle. This is when we saw the burnt part of her uniform where she had been shot. She then told us this shocking story, which remained a deep secret until the end of the war.
Thank you so much to Emily Malone and her family for sharing her great aunt's incredible story and giving the handover the opportunity to share it with you. For more on Betty Jeffries' story and her ongoing legacy, you can visit the Nurses Memorial Centre website at www.nursesmemorialcentre.org.au. Betty Jeffries also published a book on her experiences entitled White Coolies, which is also the basis for the 1997 film Paradise Road, starring Glenn Close. This is the AusMed Handover Podcast. My name is Matthew, and thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to the channel for future episodes, and please feel free to share, leave a comment, or feedback.